Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 1 and 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of God who first trusted in Christ." Once again, good morning. We're honored to have you here with us present for our worship. Hope that you have been having a good week. So glad that you saw fit to be here this morning. I want to go ahead and invite you back tonight. Being the fourth Sunday of the month at 5:30, we'll meet back. We'll worship in a period of song. Always look forward to that when it rolls around for us. This morning, I want us to think about the song. Actually, we just finished singing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And I want us to see this morning, it's a relatively simple sermon, but I think there's a lot that can be learned from it, of why is it so sweet to trust in Jesus. So what do we know about our passage here in Ephesians chapter 1? If I had to sum up the word of Ephesians in one word, it would be unity. Unity, to be united, because that's what Paul keeps telling them. Time and time and time again here in the book of Ephesians. It was delivered by Tychicus, one of those running buddies of Paul, if you will. We see there are many lessons we can learn in Ephesians. And in this passage, here in chapter 1, in verse 11, we see the idea of redemption. We see the idea of adoption, and actually the first chapter in its entirety. We see the idea of grace, the idea of an eternal inheritance, and the idea of acceptance from God. And then in verse 12, we see why do we have these blessings? It's because we first trusted in who? Christ. Or we first trusted in the man Jesus, the Christ. Now about our sermon this morning, like I said, we just finished singing the song, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And I don't know about you, but every now and then I like to kind of go on the other side of the song and see where the basis came from. Because most people, especially the songs in our songbook, were written for a specific reason, or maybe written after a certain life event. And we like to sing this song. So the song was written by Louisa Stead. You can see her name in the songbook in the year 1882. And William J. Kirkpatrick put music to it that same year. In fact, he put music to a lot of the songs, or musical notations to a lot of the songs in our songbook. According to several sources, Louisa and her daughter were stricken with poverty after her husband died. Actually, he drowned. He was trying to save a child that was off the coast of Long Island up in New York, and he saw a child out there. So he was trying to bring the child in so the child would be safe, and in the process, her husband lost his life. And so she's now upset. She's mourning the loss of her spouse. And he being the sole earner of income, especially at that time in the 1880s, she's forced to live a life of poverty. And so sources tell us that she wrote this hymn after finding out that somebody had left her some food and some money on her doorstep. And she didn't know who did it. Just an anonymous basket of food and a little envelope of money. And they knocked on the door and then they left. And after realizing just how blessed she'd been, she sat down and wrote the words of the song that we just sang. So this morning, let us examine, why is it so sweet to trust in Jesus? Three simple points and the sermon is yours. Number one, what does it mean to trust? What, simply, in its purest form, what does it mean to trust? Trust can be defined as the act of depending upon someone else to do what is needed. The act of depending upon someone else to do something that is needed. So here in a few weeks, for instance, I'm going to trust my tax advisor when I hand all the paperwork over. I'm going to trust that they do what I need them to do so I can turn the form into the government. So I don't have to. I put my complete trust that they're going to do it right. I put trust in the people that are out policing the streets and the patrolmen. They're going to do their job to keep me safe. We're familiar with the idea of trust. Let's go to the book of Proverbs now, Proverbs chapter 3, because we see in order to truly trust, we must let go of ourselves so we can trust someone else. Let go of yourself. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The wise man said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So here we see from Solomon that we need to stop trusting in ourselves and trust in who? God. So he says in verse 6, all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Now here's where people have a problem with trust, because we like to think it's all me. Look what I have done. Look how mighty I am. But to truly trust in God, we need to let go of self and hold on to God. Now let's go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 18, and learn a lesson from the life of Abraham when he trusted God, one of the many times. Genesis 18 and 25. Because Abraham depended upon God to do that which was needed. Genesis 18, 25. That be far from thee, do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Watch what he says. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? So Abraham trusted in God to do what he needed him to do. Do you trust in God that way? With Jesus, it is depending on him to do what is needed and what is right. Now let's go to the New Testament, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, a verse I feel the Bible student is familiar with. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God, every time we see the conjunction but, the changing the story, verse 7, we're basically without hope, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man would some even dare to die. But look at verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. So we have to depend upon Christ for our salvation. We have to trust in Christ to have our salvation. Why? Because he died for us even though we were far away from him. Even though we didn't deserve it, Christ died for us. We need to continue to do what is right. Because Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age, even to the end of time. Christ says, I will be with you always. So we need to trust that he's going to be there for us. And I believe that he will. You know, trust just simply means taking someone at their word. Trust, you take someone at their word. Somebody tells you something, and if you believe it, then you trust them. Plain and simple. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, and starting in verse 25, and let's see what it means to truly take someone at their word. Matthew 14 and 25. Christ has just fed the 5,000, or 5,000 men. And he needs to get away from the multitudes. Because they are following him. They're not letting him almost take a breath. And so in verse 22, the disciples go get on a boat. When he sent the disciples away, verse 23, goes to the mountain to pray. He's there a lot. When the ship was now, verse 24, in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, the wind was contrary. This was the fourth watch of the night, so it's late at night. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous and afraid, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou who art afraid, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know what it means to trust when you take somebody at his word? Put yourself in the shoes of these disciples. They've now been following Christ for some time. They've seen him do countless miracles. He just fed this large group of people who they didn't think he could feed with what they had, but he proved them wrong. And they still don't have the whole picture figured out. And they're alone out in the middle of the Lake of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, about halfway through the trip. And winds are bad. It's a bad time to be on the sea. all of a sudden you see something or someone walking on the water, you think it's a spirit, but it's Christ. And notice the trust that Peter has. Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, let me come on the water." And what does Christ say? "Come. Come on out." Think of the trust that Peter had. Because you normally can't walk on water. I don't care how good, how athletically trained you are, you can't walk on water no matter how hard you want to. And they're out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Think about the trust that Peter had to have to take his, say, right foot and put it over the side of the boat, and he lands on water and he doesn't start to sink. That's what trust is. Now, what's Peter's problem? Peter takes his eye off the prize. He's looking at Christ as Christ brings him out on the water, and then all of a sudden that wind blows by. And he realizes that it's not good weather, it's not good water to be on. And he starts thinking, "I shouldn't be standing on this water," and he takes his mind off Christ, he starts to sink, and Christ pulls him back. We need to be like Peter at the beginning of the story and have enough trust to step out on the sea, and not like Peter when he starts to lose his faith. But let's look at an Old Testament example of taking someone at their word. It's found in Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and 11. This is part of the great invitation, if you will. "So let my word be that goeth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." If you mark in your Bible, I might encourage you to underline that phrase, "it will not return unto me void." That's God speaking through Isaiah. Notice how much Isaiah has to take God at his word. He says, "It's not going to return to me void. It's not going to," God said, "I'm not going to send my word out and turn back to me and not do anything. It's not going to be empty. But instead, it's going to produce something." We need to take God at his word. You know, trusting also means simply believing someone's promise. It means believing a promise. Let's go to the book of Hebrews now. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. Hebrews 6, 13 through 18, of what I like to call the best commentary on the Old Testament, the book of Hebrews, we get another glimpse of Abraham. Verse 13. "When God made the promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who for refuge have laid hold upon the hope that is set before us." Trust means believing and someone's promise. Do you realize what God had to do when he's dealing with Abraham? Normally today, for instance, if you have to go before a judge in a courtroom setting, you have to put your right hand on the left hand, raise your right hand. You have to say, "I oath, this is a promise, I swear that I'm going to tell the truth." You usually swear on the word of God. So that's holding you to a standard of telling the truth. Well, God can't put his hand on the Bible because he's greater than it. And since there's nothing greater than God, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you. Multiply, I'll multiply you." Trust means believing someone's promise. They say, "I promise I'm going to come do that for you." You trust them, you believe it will happen. That's what it simply means to trust. Number two this morning, what is sweet about trust? What is sweet about trust? The song title, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Why and what makes it sweet? You know, when we completely and totally trust someone, you realize we have no worries, right? When you put your complete trust and faith in them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, the worry passage, if you will. and completely, totally trust someone, we don't worry. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 24. Bible says that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the body, or is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here when Christ says, take no thought, he's talking about worrying. He says, worrying can't make you taller. Worrying can't make you look better. Worrying can't make you smarter. When we truly trust someone completely, we don't have to worry. They'll say, well, I don't know if they're going to do what I asked them to or not. If you truly trust them, you will. Consider Philippians 4:6, where he says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Why? Because by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving your heart, let your request be made known unto God. We don't have to worry when it comes to God. And you know what? We don't have to do it by ourselves. Thank goodness we don't. Have you ever doubted your own ability? I have from time to time. Maybe I think, well, I can't do that. But I can't do that in my current state. What about Philippians 4:13? I can do what? All things. Where? Through Christ. How? He gives me strength. Does that mean I can do it alone? No, I know I can. But with God, I can. Because God plus one is always a majority. What are some things, though, let's consider that we can't do for ourselves? Let's go to the book of Ephesians. So there are a lot of things I can do for myself, but there's some things that I just can't. For instance, I can't control the universe. No matter how much I might like to, I can't control the universe. But look at this, Ephesians 1, 21 and 22. Jesus can. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I can't control the universe, but Christ can. So I'm going to trust Christ. You know, I also can't trust in my own righteousness to save me. And you can't trust in your own righteousness to save you either. I don't care how good of a person you are. But you can trust in the righteousness of Christ. Let's look in Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 3:8 and 9. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. I can trust the righteousness of Christ, and I tell you what else I can't do. I can't bring myself back from the dead. I can't. I physically can't. But you know what? Christ can. Look at continuing in verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers of heavenly places might be known by the God, by the church, and the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by our faith in him. I can't bring myself back from the dead, but Christ did. And so I can trust in him. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Why? Because if it seems like this world is spinning out of control, and it feels that way from time to time, that's when we put our complete trust in him. Because he's ruler of the universe. And his righteousness can save me, and he can resurrect me from the dead on that last day. So that's why it is sweet to trust in Jesus. But lastly, why do we trust Jesus? Why is it Jesus? Why is He the object of our trust? Well, because He offered His life for us. You know John 3:16, for God loved the world that what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. We know that one. What about John 15 and 13? Jesus Christ says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. He says, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. He's qualified to be the object of our trust because He offered His life for our salvation. And that's why we should praise Him, but also because God declared Him to be the Son by the resurrection of the dead. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4. God declared Him to have power. And verse 4 of Romans 1, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. So Christ, God affirmed the power of Christ by raising Him from the dead. But why else should we trust Jesus? Because He's now in control of everything. Everything that exists is under His control. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1 and the first three verses. And I love this phrase. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry time and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being righteous, or who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself cursed our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God, Jesus controls everything. The Hebrew writer says, in time past God spoke to the prophets, but now He speaks through His Son. Why else should we trust Jesus? Because He has authority. Matthew 28:18. He says, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teaching and making disciples. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. He has all authority. Fifthly, why do we trust Jesus? Because without Him, we have no hope. No hope whatsoever. Ephesians chapter 2 is where we're going now. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. We have no hope without Christ. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus you have that hope. So if you want hope of something more than just this life, if so, I'd be in Christ Jesus if I were you. If not, you don't have to be. You just live this life, and then when you take your last breath, that's it. Let me tell you, friends, there is more to this life than just here on this earth. What's our last reason? Why do we trust in Jesus? Because He keeps His promises. He keeps His promises. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but He is going to return. You may meet people in life that will promise you something grand and then not fulfill on it when it's time to do that. And that happens. But if Jesus Christ promises you something, He's going to make good on that promise. You know, He promised in John chapter 14, He says, I'm getting ready to go to my Father to prepare a place for you. He says, and if I go, I'm going to come back. That's a promise. Which means He is standing at the right hand of God waiting for God to say, all right, time to go back. He's waiting. And that's a promise, and so that's why we should trust in Jesus. Let me ask you one simple question this morning. Are you trusting in Jesus? Pretty simple, right? But the answer to that is up to you. Are you trusting in Him today? We've shown what it means to trust. We've shown why it is sweet. And we've shown why we should trust in Jesus. Are you trusting in Him today? What does it mean? Have you obeyed the gospel, put on Christ in baptism? Have you heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized upon that confession? Have your sins washed away, living life as a new creation in Christ? you've not done that, why not do so this morning? Because it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Maybe you have. I encourage you to keep going, keep remaining faithful in death, keep trusting in Jesus every single day. And if you stop, why not come back and get back on track? It is sweet to trust in Jesus. The question is, are you doing that? If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.